I finally figured it out. Okay. Let me put this over here near you.
Okay.
So I have to, I'm required by, Bill Personius is the guy that you talked to. And did you know the name Personius from Elmira?
No, I thought there is a Personius photo shop in Elmira Heights where I lived.
Yeah.
And so I lived about 5 miles from him, but he was a different Personius family. But as soon as I saw that in one of the articles in the helicopter magazine, he mentioned that his parents were in a nursing home in Horseheads, which is 2 miles north of Elmira Heights. So I figured I might have known him, but I didn't. He was way behind me.
Bill was, when I was air boss, he was my flight deck officer. And he was the best lieutenant I ever had work for me in my
good
30 years in the Navy.
Wow.
And he went on to command. He had an LHA, I think it was, LHA or LHD, I don't know which, a major command, and was runner-up for the Stockdale Award.
Oh, really? Great.
Yeah, he's Bill's top-notch guy.
Oh, and he's good. It was nice talking to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great. So you, how did you get into the Navy from Elmira?
I was a Ukrainian. I lived in the east side where all the Ukrainians in Washington live. My parents came from Ukraine. I've got to buy, I sort of combined two things. I had my obituary here. This one, which you could take with you if you like.
Okay.
And then I had this insert when I was retired, which is a lot shorter. So I sort of combined the two into that.
Okay.
And you can take all three.
All right. Okay. I can have this?
Yeah.
You don't need this back.
Let me just make a copy of this one. Also, I have a problem with my printer.
I can make a photo of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. You can take all those.
Okay.
And,
I
don't know what kind of biography he wants, or you can sort of combine the two if he wants to.
Yeah, I'll get this stuff back to you from the retirement ceremony. You retired from Damneck, huh?
Yeah.
What were you doing out there?
I was a CEO of the NLP at the Social Station. And when I got there, it was I was a chief staff officer at Ocean Sicilant for SOSIS. You're familiar with SOSIS at all? Are you? So you are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, anyway. And then we were building a new one out at Damneck, and then we were going to make it a major command, short command. So I screened and involved really in building it from the ground up. And it was the first CO. I was going to have a three-year tour there. And then for some reason, they extended me for a year. And then they couldn't find a qualified relief, so I stayed there another year. So I 5 years in command.
That's cool.
And it was fun. And I had a car. And every once in a while, they'd call me back, like for a month, back to Ocean Sicilant in Norfolk to be the chief staff officer again. So I sort of...
Let's go back. How'd you get your commission?
Okay, I went to Cornell first. I'd never heard of the NROTC.
Uh-huh.
I found out guys were getting paid for going through college. So I applied. And at Cornell, they had a policy that you couldn't come into the NROTC as a sophomore, even though I was in a five-year engineering program, and I had four more full years to go. So anyway, I got in the NROTC as an engineer. I applied for USC, RPI, and MIT. And then I got a letter saying, congratulations, you've been accepted at your first choice. And I read it on, and it sort of skipped over where it said University of South Carolina until it said report to the professor of naval science in Columbia, South Carolina. I thought, what the hell? I got the wrong USC. And in fact, I met a guy at the Pentagon, a submariner. The same thing happened to him. He had applied for USC, and again, USC in South Carolina. Anyway, after 4 years there at NROTC, I went to flight training, went through SNJ all the way. I mean, we did everything. Dive bombing, air gunnery, dogfighting, the whole thing in an SNJ. Applied for VP. I get airsick, by the way. I got airsick most of my way through flight training. I just had a good instructor, and he made me turn a collar of my flight suit down, held it back up. When the back of my neck started turning red, he'd say, okay, I got it. Get out your bag. And anyway, so I applied for VP. Went through Hutchinson, Kansas, and the only jobs they could offer me was the backseat of an SNJ, which I couldn't do, or the barrier squadrons, you know, the super connies, mm-hmm. the 14-hour flights. So I said, you got anything else? He said, well, he said, we're just opening up helicopters for new pilots. He says, but I won't send you there. He says, there's no career pattern. Most of the pilots are enlisted. They're too dangerous, and you'll get killed. So I said, I'll take it. So that's how I got into helicopters. And by the way, at the morning breakfast, we were talking about landing on a carrier. And part of my flight training at Ellison was you had to land on a moving carrier before you could get your designation. So I flew an H-25 out to the Carequal carrier out of Pensacola.
In an H-25?
H-25, yeah.
You didn't do it in a fixed wing?
Oh, yeah, I did that. That was before I went to helicopter training. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I went through SNJs, and the last thing is six addressed landing on a CVL-32 at Monterey. So I got my fixed wing landings before I got my wings.
Right.
And then I had to have four more helicopter landings to get the helicopter designation.
And so they made you go to a carrier on a helicopter.
Yeah.
Which is kind of...
The ship went out almost every day for Carequals, for SNJs, and they would just time it. We'd all, about six of us would fly in the H-25 at Pensacola and try to catch it just as it's moving out of the port.
Right.
So it wasn't going very fast. But anyway, then I got to HS-7. I saw another biography there.
Dusty Dogs, is that right?
Pardon?
Dusty Dogs?
They are now. They weren't then.
They weren't then.
We were just the Dippers. Big
and
Dippers.
And that's in Quonset Point.
No, right here in Norfolk. Go back here. The squadron was being formed in Weeksville, North Carolina, with the blimps. We saw two blimp squadrons there. And HS-3 was there. And they were unloading their old, tired H-19s and getting new H-34s. So we were getting their old H-19s. So we were assigned to them to transition us to the H-19. We were in Weeksville probably 6 months, and then we moved to Norfolk.
Right.
So then we were based out of here at Norfolk. Yeah, they changed the, I like the old helicopter, I've got the patch somewhere, of the old HS-7, because there's a Big Dipper, Cooper 7, right. Submarine in the cup, but then they disestablished it and then established it again as a Dusty Dogs.
And that must have been, because I know all those guys were up in Quonset Point,
yeah.
And then they moved to Jacksonville sometime in the early, yeah. In the mid-70s, maybe early 70s, That was all part of the base realignment process.
Yeah. Well, we didn't, at that time when I was there, we didn't have any helicopter squadrons at Quonset, although all of our ASW carriers were based there.
Right.
We had to fly up there to get on a carrier to go to our Alnus fleet.
Yeah.
I was in Hunter Killer groups mostly, and then I was in Task Group Alpha after that. The first time, I flew the H-34 probably for 3 months. Up until then, it was all H-19s. And in fact, when we leave, we had to get 8 planes to Quonset Point from here, so we start with 12. And usually one would fall along the way, and we end up with 8. But it was fun. I went in a drink once, engine failure, not too far from the carrier, luckily. And we auto-rotated, I crashed, I sank with a plane. The report went back with... The plane sank, 3 survivors, and 1 went down. That was me. I got trapped in the cockpit. And I got outside the plane, but couldn't get out, so I got my knife and cut my way out. Finally got to the surface, and got picked up by a HUP. The HUP, the H-25.
That was in an H-19 or an H-19?
I was crashing an H-19, got picked up by an H-25.
Well, yeah.
And there's a chief on it. And he came up, I swear, he went more than 6 feet off the water. And in an H-25, the hoist is inside. The pilot controls it. He's just got a little trap door there, and I swear it wasn't more than 8 foot of cable. He pulled me up, and we're just looking eye to eye. When I got, and all he said was hi. So, anyway, you know, I don't know whether you remember this, but if you rescued an aircraft or anybody flying a Sikorsky helicopter, they gave you a nice tie pin, gold plated with a big winged S. If you crash in a Sikorsky helicopter, they just said. Crash? What crash? But anyway, that was a good tour. Never heard of submarine. We were dipping all the time. Only submarine I got in there was the Nautilus. And you could hear that. We'd be out here east of Norfolk, and you could hear it coming out of New London.
So you had a sonar. Did you go out at night?
No, we never flew at night. We couldn't even fly instruments. You couldn't fly at night.
Yeah.
Not much less hover.
Because that H-34 flew at night.
Yeah, well, when I got there, it was the HSS-1, and then they made it an HSS-1N where it could fly at night.
Right.
But I was out of the squadron by then.
And then you went
to Ellison Field as an instructor.
As an instructor, okay.
Yeah, flight instructor.
And then your eyesight got in the way.
Oh, that actually what happened. I went from there to BG school, and then went to VP RAG, and after the second flight realized I had no depth perception. I mean, I was landing a P-2 50 feet up, and I was starting to get scared of killing myself, so I quit flying. And I got sent to the VP wing at Jacksonville, Wing 11. And I sat already got it in there. But as a ground pounder, I had every field job they had. I mean, I was, you name them, I had them.
And they were flying P-2s then, probably.
They were flying P-2s, and then we got the P-3s. The P-5Ms that were in Bermuda relocated to Jacksonville in the first P-3s.
Right.
And I stayed there, and from there, I got orders to Bermuda. I worked with sources all the time. So one of the squadrons said, why don't you try to get me a CO of one of the facilities? I know the one in Grand Turk was coming available. And the Grand Turk is a rock. I mean, 6 miles by 5. And nothing there. It's unaccompanied, one-year tour. You leave your family behind. And so I said, so I called up the headquarters here in Norfolk and said, hey, how about getting that? And they said, well, wait a while. And then he called me back finally. And he said, if you can stay where you are for 6 months, we can get you CO of Bermuda for 3 years, a nice accompanied tour. And I says, great. So my Commodore allowed me to stay. I was surprised at that because he needed another aviator. But he let me stay for another 6 months. And the thing is, my DJ says, there's only one hitch. He says, it may become a commander's bullet. At the time, I was a lieutenant commander.
Made you become what?
I was a lieutenant commander, but he said, it may become a commander's bullet.
Oh.
So that might kick me out. So finally, I get my orders. I figure, well, either they're not going to make it a commander's billet, or I'm going to make commander. So,
you got your wife family to come out.
Oh, it was great. My kids, she never left the island. My kids went to British schools. We lived on the economy. Best job I ever had.
Yeah. I had an exchange tour in England.
Oh, great.
And flew in what they call the frontline squadron.
Uh-huh.
Flying Sea Kings,
H-3s. Oh, H-3s, yeah.
And on their last attack carrier, the Ark Royal.
Yeah.
And, you know, we deployed to places like Hamburg and Naples and Norfolk and Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But it was a great tour. And their accident rate was twice ours. Their fatal accident rate was twice ours.
Wow.
And because they just didn't say no. You know, and we flew. I was the most experienced helicopter pilot in the squadron as a kind of mid-grade lieutenant.
Yeah.
And so one winter.
Hold on a minute, my wife.
Oh, you got to get her?
Oh, no, not yet. Ginger, can you wait a while? I got a guy down here I'm talking to, and I'll be up as soon as I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a video thing here. Let's see what she's doing. Yeah, Ginger, just wait a while and I'll be up.
I can't wait.
She probably just want to, I just got to get her a drink of water. So
go ahead.
Yeah. Like I say, she's had Parkinson's. She's been bedridden for about 6 months.
Oh, man.
And hadn't been out of her room, so I'm having an elevator put in the next room here. And so it'll hold a wheelchair and a person, so I can get her up in a wheelchair, so I can bring her down here.
Mm-hmm. That'd be nice.
The reason we have a big TV is she loves to watch golf and tennis, but can't see the ball. So we got a big TV so she can see the ball. Just let me go.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give her a couple of drinks of water, and
yeah.
I'll be right back. Anyway, you can read those.
Yeah, I'll look at these. This is good.
I'm gonna take, I have to use a stairlift to get up the stairs. My printer wasn't working too well on that last biography, so.
guy down to this Navy captain. He's interviewing me for that Otis helicopter pilot thing. He's interviewing me for the Otis helicopter thing. Being an Otis helicopter pilot?
Yeah.
So let me just get you your water. Let me go back down and talk to you. This one's he's recording what I'm saying. So let me go back down and do that. Just stay in there for a while, okay?
I don't think so.
Try that. Try to, you know, just give me maybe 20 minutes at most. Just go back to sleep and drink some water.
Can he come back?
No, he can't. He just, I don't know. He has the problems with COVID. Wearing the mask. So. Anyway, he's been here for a while. He should be done pretty soon. So.
I guess Deborah.
What?
That's Deborah.
Okay, I'll give you your mask and then I'll go back down.
Did he call you first?
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't have had a couple.
Apparently he was called from San Diego.
I can't wait.
Yes, you can.
Oh, you'd rather have me die?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I am. My legs here are itchy. Scratch my itch.
Here, I'll have to get some. You said it.
Where were we?
So, what did you do after the Navy?
Nothing. I became a part. I did outplacement seminars where we went to GE plants that were closing. And sorry, leave that there. Let me turn this down. And teaching people how to write resumes and get new jobs.
What's that now?
The GE would hire us, or I worked for a placement agency. GE would send us like to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, where they're closing down a GE plant.
Uh-huh.
And we'd teach the people how to get another job, you know, just write resumes. I did it for a year, but we only went out maybe once or twice a month. I made like $2,000 a whole year doing that. And then I did tax preparation, which was fun, right out here at Hilltop, part-time for about 20 years. And otherwise, my wife and I traveled around a lot. Mostly, we did a lot. We went everywhere. And I truly retired at age 54.
When did you how old were you when you retired from the Navy?
54, yeah.
Well, 54?
Yeah, 1984, so yeah, 54.
Okay. And then, that's cool.
We bowled, went to the beach here a lot. I have a daughter who lives in Florida, so we'd go down and see her in the wintertime. Take the train, believe it or not, the Amtrak out of Northern Virginia.
You drive to Northern Virginia?
Drive to there, put your car in the train.
Yeah, okay.
And then take the train, you get on it at 4 at night, it goes nonstop, arrives in Sanford, Florida, and you got your car with you, and you spend a couple weeks and then take the train.
Yeah, you still do that.
You can still do it. I can't because she can't go. But
yeah.
The parks has just really took hold. She has for 20 years, but mostly the manifestation was she walked slow and dragged her left leg. And then in June, she just suddenly went downhill. And so that's what she is now. But
it's a tough business.
Yeah. She's 85, 86. She's 86, I guess.
86. Yeah, my mother died 5 years before my dad did, and he died at 96. You're making a run at that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was on his own, never having, he didn't know how to use a microwave when she died.
Oh, jeez.
You know, I mean, but it didn't matter, you know. He knew to ask.
Well, I love to cook, and I'm a good cook. I start out, I didn't get married until I was 27, so I was a bachelor, and I cooked a lot then. And now my son used to run a restaurant at the beach.
Oh, really?
And it's now a parking lot where his restaurant was. But he ran him for like 20, he said he would hire me an instant as a cook, except I don't work fast enough. But I love to cook, and I can cook. I have to cook for her.
Yeah.
She eats 3 good meals a day, and just have to sit her up and feed her. So.
And did any of your kids go in the service?
No, my brother was in the U.S. Army Air Corps during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Got shot down in a B-24, Japanese prisoner for 2 years.
Was he?
Okay. And he was a good baseball player. And he had a contract with the Boston Braves before he got drafted, before the war started. He said when he got out of the prison camp, if he went on 26, or I guess he was 26, he said, I'm really too old to go back to the Boston Braves. So he stayed in the Air Force. And he made a lieutenant colonel. He was a pilot most of the time, but he flew everything. And my...
Became the Air Force.
Yeah, it became the Air Force, yeah. He married an Air Force nurse, and she stayed in the reserves, and so she retired as a lieutenant colonel, as a colonel, in the reserves. And then otherwise, I had an uncle that was in the Russian Army. My mother told me about him because she was from the Ukraine. And I pictured some guy in a bearskin hat, you know, with a saber on a great big black horse. And she said, no, he worked in the stables for 4 years.
So what do you think about what's going on with Ukraine right now?
I think all they got to do is the Ukrainian president should just tell Putin, if they offer me to go into NATO, I'll say no. And that would solve the whole damn problem, I think. But,
well, he's apparently... Zelensky said something yesterday over the weekend that maybe that's what he should do is not go to NATO.
Well, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, and I don't know where I read it. I read a lot, but I got, you know, with that time in England, we spent England, then I got addicted to The Economist magazine.
Oh.
And so it may have come from that, but I think that's where it's going.
Yeah.
Although who knows with Putin, you know.
He's KGB. He can do
it. That's right.
But you're talking about being in, and we put a social station in the RAF base at Wales, in Wales,
mm-hmm.
Broughty, Wales.
Right.
And so it's a nice big station. In fact, when I was in the Pentagon, I got the funding for it and got it all set up. And we have to have an unclassed code word for the building of the thing. And they usually give you a book. You know, you take one from this side, one from this side, column A and column B, and come up with an unclassified code word. Well, since they were helping pay for it, and I was getting it done, and I was going to go to the Pacific, and I wanted to have my name in the Atlantic, so we called it Project Backscratch. So, and we got it. I think they've disestablished it since then. But they had the H-19 with a turbine engine.
Really?
It was Sikorsky.
Of course, in those days, that would have been, what, the 70s? Early 70s?
I was in the Pentagon. Yeah, 68, 70, yeah.
You know, there was a period there when there were so many spare helicopters. And I showed up at this West Coast squadron from flight school, and a guy had lost his tail rotor.
Ooh.
In the hover in an H-19, Wayne Bauer, and got out. Everybody got out.
Yeah.
And they had one or two. They had a couple of H-34s. They had three or four H-3s, but they were UH-3s.
Yeah.
They weren't SH-3s. There were some minesweep H-3s that very quickly went somewhere else. I don't know where they went.
Yeah.
There were the single-engine H-2s, the AB, and then there was the H-2 Charlie. And then the squadron became a LAMP squadron. That was the first West Coast LAMP squadron. And I mean, it was a funny squadron because there must have been 80 officers.
Wow.
And we trained all the H-2 pilots. But we had a C component too, which is what I went for. Yeah, it was wild. So they're gonna do this reunion. Bill probably did. He give you the dates for the reunion?
He said it was in May.
It's in May, yeah. And you'll hear more from him about that. They're gonna put your bio on the Historical Society website, which you probably already looked at.
Well, the thing is, I looked at it. You looked at all of the big jobs everybody had and all the stuff they did after they retired, and I thought, geez, I hadn't done anything. So
you had fun.
I had fun. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And then they'll do that. I'm gonna write something up, but I think I'm gonna send Bill all this stuff, and then he'll decide how he wants to approach it. And then. They want you to come to the association, to the meeting in May, and get the award as the oldest helix.
Okay, I can do that.
That'll be fun. And then you may be doing this for some time.
As long as I can walk, I can probably do it.
Yeah. So you probably. So you knew, I don't know whether it was Warren Ott.
Yeah, I knew
him. Was he a helicopter pilot by then?
Yep, he was.
And you knew Bill Johnson.
Yep.
There were a bunch of guys. I started out at Imperial Beach in San Diego, which is right on the Mexican border.
Yes, Greenfield?
Greenfield.
Yeah.
There were half a dozen guys who were Chuck Smiley and Joe Pertell.
I heard the name Pertell. I don't think
those names are familiar to you. You remember those names?
I remember Pertell. I don't.
Yeah, I mean those guys were West Coast Bubbas, and they started the Naval Helicopter Association. In those days, what they did is they went to Rosarita Beach in Mexico for a long weekend.
Yeah.
And it was I have to suspect it was a drunken weekend.
Yeah.
In those days, that's all people did.
Yeah.
And And then sometime in the, I remember going, I don't remember there being an NHA national convention when I was on the West Coast the first time. When I went back, there was. In fact, I went back and spoke to it when I came back from England.
Well, it's almost always been either in San Diego or Jacksonville.
They haven't had it in Jacksonville for some time.
Oh, okay.
The last three or four on the East Coast have been here at the Marriott.
Yeah.
And which will be fun. And it'll be easy for you to to get in.
My son will drop me off and come and pick me up.
Yeah. Or we'll get somebody to come get you.
Yeah.
Whichever.
No, I'll have him do it. It's easier.
Yeah. That'll be a fun event. Yeah. I think you may meet some guys that you meet that you knew. There are a few of them who still show up. Did you know a guy named Andy Granuzzo?
Nope.
Andy was he was the oldest naval aviator.
Whoa, Great Eagle.
As a helicopter pilot, he really pissed off the fixed wing guys.
Oh,
but a helicopter guy was the oldest aviator.
Yeah.
On active duty, but he was for 3 or 4 years. He's in Jacksonville, but there'll be people that'll come to this convention that you'll know.
Probably.
People my age that you may have crossed service with. Although, a lot of those guys retired in the 70s.
Yeah.
And of course, most of them, the ones I met, they all retired in San Diego because of the weather.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat that weather. So anyway, I'm gonna make copies of this stuff and send them to Bill, and then I'll do a draft bio.
Yeah, you just pick and choose.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna plagiarize all this stuff. That's right. In fact, this is pretty funny stuff in here. So that'll be good fodder for the troopers to see. It's a different Navy now with I don't know what they call her. The active duty person that's the head of the NHA is a woman.
Yeah.
A commander who's a helicopter pilot, which is, they didn't have that when I was in.
A helicopter pilot just took over a CVA.
That's right.
Yeah.
West Coast one. Are you a member of the NHA?
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's kind of an amazing time. And if you're like you and me, we missed all that fraternization with the women,
Well, in Sosa's, half of our people were women. I mean.
Yes, you would have, wouldn't you? Yeah. Because all those unrestricted line officers, which is all the women could be then, that's what they did. I remember I had, when I was I was the training officer. No, I was the admin officer in HS1. When we came back from England, I went to HS1 in Jackson. And I talked to CO and let me take a 30-day leave. But the reason was is that the woman that was the personnel officer was so squared away. I mean, she was unbelievably good, and I thought that I might not have a job when I got back.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. But the Protective Association boys took care of that. They watched out for their guys. So anyway, well, I'm gonna get out of your hair then.
Okay.
This is great. I'll send you whatever I draft.
Okay.
What's your email?
First initial and last name.
What is it now?
Just a minute. I'll be up in about 1 minute. It's just my first initial and last name, P. Herskonich, @cox.net. First initial, last name.
First initial,
last name.
So P
H R Y, SKANICH at cox.net.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send that to you. Okay. And
whatever, where do you live around here?
Hmm?
Where do you live?
Norfolk.
Oh, okay.
We've been all over, like you have.
Yeah.
We went to England, then came back from England and went to HS1, and then had a fleet squadron, and it was a department head in the fleet squadron in Jacksonville. Then came up here and fell in love with Norfolk and Tidewater, Ghent and Larchmont in that area. And then went to the West Coast to start a new squadron. And then went to an LHA as air boss. And then they said, well, we want to send, because you got all this European experience, we want to send you back to Europe, which was fine with us.
Yeah.
And they said, would you mind going to Rome for 6 months away?
Yeah, great.
You know, it's a hard life. And then we came back here, and I retired in 94, and started my own business with Edward Jones.
Oh, really?
And did the Navy for 26, yeah. And I did that for 26, and then I finally retired.
Geez, I think my daughter's brother's sister, I think she worked for Jones. His name is Mario. Mario Tata? No.
Where, around here?
Yeah, in Norfolk. No, it's not Jones. It was one of the other brokerages.
It could be A.G. Edwards, maybe.
No, maybe Mario Papa. That's his name. He's a.
I don't know
he's
that
been a stockbroker for about 30 years.
There are a lot of people. Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of advisors.
Yeah.
So. Anyway.
Okay.
Why don't you get your wife?
Tell him to pick and choose what he wants out of there. And...
Yes, sir. Well, this is great. And it's nice to meet you. And so you go to the Village Inn. That's the third. It must be the third one.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the guy that runs it is named.